Eternal Lord, our Father, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this morning as we are going through this series in the book of Matthew, O Lord. We recognize that every little iota in your word, O Lord, is inspired by you, that you gave it to us, O Lord, for a reason, that your church might be built, that your church, O Lord, might be warned about that which is happening. Even as we read, O Lord, in this book of Matthew, we are reminded, O Lord, of the false prophets which are amongst us. We are reminded, O Lord, of those who are perishing, those who are perishing because of these false prophets. Lord, we pray that you may be gracious to us. We pray, O Lord, that you may be gracious to those who are caught up by the ministries, O Lord, where these false prophets are. That, O Lord, you may restrain this evil that we see prevailing in our country, where there are so many tents, there are so many buildings, O Lord, where we know that your word is not being preached, where we know, O Lord, that there are false prophets, and people are being deceived. People by their billions all over the world are being deceived. So help us, O Lord, us as people of Olivan, be gracious to us, and help me, O Lord, as I'm preaching on this word, that you may give me words from you, O Lord, that you may help me from error. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 7, from verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but a diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." So Jesus taught the people that there is a narrow gate that leads to life, and that there is also this wide gate that leads to destruction. If you were here last week, you will remember Bembe preached on this gate, that there is indeed a wide gate, then there is indeed this wide gate as well. And here Jesus pleads with the people to enter through the narrow gate. He pleaded with them that even though the narrow gate is founded by a few, yet we should seek it. That we should seek this narrow gate, and we should enter through this narrow gate. After all, this narrow gate, this narrow road is the only way for people to have eternal life. Unlike the narrow road that leads to eternal life, the wide road, this broad road that many people travel in, leads to destruction. Although this wide gate that people go through, this broad road that people travel in, are full of people, yet its end is eternal damnation. Now Jesus warns the people against the wide gate. He warns the people against this broad road, and that they should rather seek to enter by the narrow gate. They should rather seek to travel on this hard way that only a few people travel in. In our text this morning, Jesus' warning to the people is this: if you would enter by the narrow gate, if you will travel by this narrow road that leads to eternal life, then you should beware of false prophets. Jesus is not only encouraging people to enter by the narrow gate and to travel by this narrow road, but he also tells the people how to know this narrow gate. Jesus is saying to the people, they will know this narrow gate and walk in it if they could avoid the false prophets and their teachings. He's telling the people that the reason why people do not find this narrow gate and why many people do not travel on this narrow road is because they have failed to take note of the false prophets and their teachings. They have failed to beware of these false prophets. And now Jesus' message is have nothing to do with false prophets. If you will enter through the wide gate, then you should not take heed of his warning. But if you desire to enter by the narrow road, the road that leads to eternal life, then beware of false prophets. Now Jesus, having warned his disciples about the wide gate that leads to destruction, he now warns them about those who recruit people to enter through this wide gate. Jesus warns his disciples about those who promote what looks like Christianity, but it is not Christianity. It is godless Christianity. That which looks like Christianity, but it is not Christianity. You see, brethren, Jesus is making a link. He's linking this wide gate, this broad road that leads to destruction, and he's linking it with these false prophets who are the agents of this gate. Jesus, as he was the agent of the narrow road, as Jesus was the one who was teaching people the way of God, the way that leads to eternal life, Jesus is also saying the wide gate, the gate that when you enter through it, it leads you to return to destruction, this very gate also has its agents. And these agents are the false prophets. And Jesus is encouraging people that you must not enter through this wide gate of the false prophets. And if you will not enter by this wide gate of the false teachings, then you must be aware of the false prophets. You see, brethren, the false prophets have a mission. The mission is to lead people through the wide gate and to make them walk on this broad road which leads to destruction. The aim of every false prophet is to see the people deceived and be taken away from the truth of God that leads to life. Just as Jesus had an aim, his aim was to bring the truth of God to the people, to see their eyes opened to the salvation of God, so that the people can be with God forever, just as we are reading in the book of Revelation chapter 21. These false prophets are doing the very opposite of what Jesus is doing. They are lying to the people. They are telling people the lies of their father Satan. They don't want people to be with God forever. Now Jesus is saying, avoid anything that has to do with the wide gate. Avoid false teachings. Do not walk on that broad road because it leads to destructions. And what is this wide gate? What is this broad road? It is the false teachings of the false prophets. It is those teachings which are contrary to the teachings of Jesus. Those teachings that many people even today are falling for. But Jesus says, have nothing to do with them. Beware of false prophets. They will lead you to the wide gate. And the wide gate will lead you to eternal destruction. The only way to avoid this wide gate that leads to destruction is by avoiding the false prophets who are the sources of this false teaching. You see, brethren, Jesus is concerned about the people of Israel. He's also concerned about his disciples. Even though he had spent a great deal of time teaching the people the truth of God in this sermon, yet he knows that false prophets will also come. And they have come. And they will teach people the lies from Satan. from chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus teaches the people the different aspects of the gospel, showing them the truth of the kingdom of God, teaching the people the right way to live with their neighbors, and how they should avoid the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Yet he knows that the false prophets will come and seek to deceive the very same people. Jesus, just as he's ending his sermon, he addresses the biggest threat to the truth of the gospel. And the biggest threat to the truth of the gospel is the false prophets. He's telling the people that even though he has taken time to teach them and he has poured out his heart to them, yet there are those who will come and lie to them and try to deceive them and make them forget all that they have learned from him. Brethren, the false prophets are the enemies of the truth of God. They are the enemies of the truth of God. Their task is to attack the truth of God if they can. And if they cannot attack it directly, they try to change the truth of God slightly so that you may not notice the difference between the real truth and what they are telling you. Which is what is happening today. Let me make you an example of what I'm talking about. There are those people who believe that there is no God. Those people, they directly attack the truth of the gospel. They directly attack the truth of God. But there are those people who believe that there is God. There are those people who will say things that look to be truth, but they are not truth. We see the same thing happening today in this charismatic movement that is consuming our country. People come and quote from the Bible, but then they take what is in the Bible and they twist it to fit their own desires. But the aim is the same, to attack the truth of God, to deceive people so that people will not know the truth of the gospel. And false prophets know that the only way they can stay relevant is by replacing the truth of God with their own lies. So Jesus says, beware of them. Beware of false prophets. In verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So Jesus says they come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are dangerous wolves. You know, a wolf is a breed, is a dog, a wild dog. And Jesus says these false prophets, they come to you pretending to be like sheep, but their intention is to eat sheep. That is their nature. So in those days when Jesus is using this example of a sheep and this wolf, it was the custom of the people those days for shepherds, those who care for the sheep, to wear clothing that was made of sheepskin. So when Jesus says they come to you wearing sheep's clothing, the people understood that sheep's clothing was worn by those who cared for the sheep. That the true shepherds of the sheep wore sheep clothing to identify with the sheep. And we also read as well that the prophets, the true prophets of God, also wore clothing that was made with sheep skin. In 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 8, we read of how Elijah wore a hairy clothing, which the Bible commentator said it was made of sheepskin. In Zechariah chapter 13 verse 4, we read Zechariah saying, on that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his prophetic vision. He will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. So here we read that These prophets of God, they wore garments or clothing of hay, and this clothing was said to have been made of the skin of a sheep. It was made of sheep's wool. Just as it is the same with our Zulu kings. You know, our Zulu kings, they wear clothing made of leopard skin so that they may signify their importance amongst the people. So it was with the prophets. They wore clothing made of sheepskin. So when Jesus says they will come to you as sheep, but their wolves, people understood exactly what he was talking about. He's saying to them, when he's using this sheepskin to say that they will present themselves as sheep, he's saying to them they will present themselves as shepherds for the sheep, while they are in fact wolves. They will present themselves to you as those who care for you, as those who are concerned about your life, who want your prosperity, when in fact they want to kill you. They will present themselves as those who are harmless, when in fact they are dangerous wolves. A nature of a wolf is to eat a sheep. But they will present themselves as those who care for you, those who are harmless. They will give themselves titles that we see in the Bible, like apostles or prophets, trying to present themselves to you as those apostles of the Bible and those prophets of the Bible when they are not. They will claim to speak on behalf of God, when in fact they are telling lies and speaking from their own imaginations. They will speak as though they are prophets of God, when they are false prophets coming straight from Satan. And they will pretend to do miraculous signs like the apostles of old, when in fact they are using magic tricks to fool you. They will want you to honor them as men of God, when they are in fact men of gold. They want you to relax around them. And when you don't notice, when you are not careful, then they will attack you and finish you. That's what the wolf does to a sheep. So Jesus says they come to you as harmless as sheep. And when they get close to you, then they use their sharp teeth to destroy you. Jesus says, the wolves in sheep's clothing. So Jesus was not warning the people against some people who will come with horns on their heads, or some who will wear clothing written false prophet in front. Instead, he warns them against their own religious leaders. Jesus is warning them that these false prophets will be your religious leaders. He warns them against the Pharisees, those who held a position of religious power over the people of God. Even in our day, people look at such people and they think they're men of God because they have these positions in the church. They have this apparent godliness about them. They are presenting themselves to people as those who can be trusted. And when you look at them, you think, this is a man I can trust, not knowing that this man is a false prophet. And that is why Jesus says they present themselves as sheep, while they are in fact wolves. They mingle amongst God's people, yet they are not from God. They speak the Christian language. They present themselves to people as Christians, yet when no one is looking, they are doing that which wolves do. They feed themselves of the sheep. There are those who will not enter by the narrow gate, yet do not let the people to enter as well. So when Jesus was speaking of these Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, let's turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, verse 12. in this chapter of Matthew 23, Jesus is continuing the same warning that he has started in Matthew 7. And now he is warning people directly against these Pharisees who were the false prophets. In verse 13, Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers! Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who will enter to go in." So Jesus saying, not only are these false prophets refusing to enter by the narrow gate, but they are closing the door of the narrow gate to those who want to enter to it. How do they do that? By making false promises of salvation to the people. By telling the people that if you want to be saved, all you need to do is just to say a small little prayer as you are repeating after me. And then you can go home and live your life of sin. It will not matter because now you are saved. They themselves do not enter through the narrow gate, and they do not want others to enter as well. These false prophets, brethren, are agents of Satan himself. They are sent from Satan to deceive people. They are doing the bidding of Satan. That serpent, who is a liar, who was a murderer from the beginning, he is using these false prophets to achieve his purpose, to see as many people damned to hell as possible. And don't we see such false prophets today? Don't we see people presenting themselves as apostles or prophets or pastors, yet they destroy people's lives? Don't we see people presenting themselves as men of God, yet we only see them interested in gold and silver? Don't we see them people presenting themselves as prophets from God, yet none of their prophecies have ever come true? Don't we see people presenting themselves as those who heal others, yet they have never been to a hospital to go and heal those who are sick? If somebody comes to you and tell you that they have a healing gift and they don't go to hospitals, then you know you are dealing with a false prophet. But there are so many amongst us. We're not talking about something that happens far away. We're talking about things that happen right here in the place of Olivan. We see things that are happening right here in this extension itself. False prophets, those whose mouths are full of lies, those who give people motivational speeches instead of preaching the truth of God to the people, those who fool people who love riches. Jesus says, beware of false prophets. But then he says something very interesting here. He says, by their fruit you shall know them. Let's read verse 16 to verse 20. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good grape, good fruit, but a diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Brethren, we don't judge a tree by its leaves or how good it looks. Instead, we judge a tree by its fruit. So it is the same with false prophets. We don't judge the false prophets based on the expensive suits that they wear, or the expensive houses and expensive cars that they have, or the number of people who come to their churches. Instead, we judge them by the fruits of their ministries, as seen in their lives and the lives of those who are following them. Interesting thing about a tree is that it takes time for a tree to bear fruit. Only on harvest time will you know for sure which kind of a tree this is. Because when a tree, it is not harvest time, they may all look the same. But when that time comes for a tree to bear fruit, then you will know exactly what kind of a tree it is. And it is the same with false prophets. They may hide themselves for a long time. They may look like true prophets from God. They may look like true shepherds from God for a season. But very soon you start seeing fruits from their ministries. They can never hide themselves from us for long. Sooner or later, they will show their fruit. They may hide themselves for a year, but very soon, the fruits start falling down from their ministries. And we see them for exactly what they are, bad trees. Because only bad fruit can come from bad tree. And when time comes for these false prophets to bear fruit, you see bad fruit coming from them. Every tree bears fruit, brethren. The fruit might be good or bad, but it will bear fruit. And the fruit of the false prophet is bad. It is sour. It leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. It makes you sick to your stomach. It is unhealthy for you. And that is the fruit of the false prophets. And Jesus says, you will know them by their bad fruit. They will eventually bear fruit, and their fruit, it will be bad fruit. They cannot hide forever. Soon enough, their bad fruits will start showing in their ministries. Soon enough, they will be exposed as false prophets that they are. Brethren, it is impossible for a false prophet to bear good fruit in his ministry. False prophets can never produce God-loving converts. False prophets can never have followers whose aim in life is to please God. There may be some among their followers who love God, but they love God not because of the false prophets, but in spite of the false prophet. Some of us sat under ministries of false prophets, yet we were saved the whole time. We are not saved because of the ministries of these false prophets, but we are saved because God was working his will in our lives. And when the time came, God took us out from such ministries. False prophets can only produce after themselves. They can only produce those people who hate God and want nothing to do with him. This is why Jesus says, a tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That fire is the destiny of all false prophets. Their end is eternal destruction. And if you would avoid this eternal destruction, you will be aware of them. You will stay away from them. You will want nothing to do with these false prophets. But if you associate with them, if you continue to consume the false teaching, if you continue to sit under their ministries and continue to eat this bad fruit that comes from them, then you will be led into a place of destruction. You will be cut down and thrown into the fires of hell. Now Jesus here, brethren, was specifically warning his disciples of the Pharisees. These Pharisees were the teachers of the law. They were those who wore long purple clothes that were honorable among the people. Those who entrusted themselves with teaching the people of Israel the law of God. Those who were presumed by the people to live in holiness. Those who made long prayers and fasted every week. Those who presented themselves as men of God. Yet Jesus says, beware of them. They may look like men of God, but beware of them. And you shall know them by their truth. And in Matthew 23, Jesus highlights some of the fruits that you will see from false prophets. In verse 3, he says, these false prophets, they will not practice what they preach. They will say one thing to the people, yet they themselves will do something totally different. They will tell you not to commit adultery, but they themselves, they will go and divorce their wives and therefore commit adultery. Those who will tell you to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, but they themselves love money more than anything. In verse 4 of Matthew 23, Jesus says, those who put heavy loads on people's shoulders, yet they themselves will not lift them. Those who will go to the law of God and add more laws. Those who add to the Bible, putting even a heavier shoulder on people's, heavier load on people's shoulders. In verse 5, Jesus says, those who do things to be seen by men, those who, when they want to do something good in the community, they will call people, say, come and see what I'm doing. Jesus warns against that in Matthew chapter 6. We dealt with it a couple of months ago, that you must give in secret and not get glory from the people. But this false prophets, they will gather people around so that people can see them giving. In verse 6, it says, those who love honor in the community and want to be called with names of honor. In verse 15, it says, those who make efforts to bring people into the house of the Lord, and when people come into the house of the Lord, then they teach them to be haters of God. Isn't it what we see today? How false prophets go to great lengths to invite people to come to their churches, to come to their tents, to fill the places up. And when people come, sit down, hoping that they're going to hear the word of God, then these false prophets lead them astray. Then they tell them the very opposite of what they are supposed to be telling them. And Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single convert. And when he becomes a convert, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourself. This is the fruit of false prophets. They turn people into children of hell just like themselves. And their converts become even worse than they themselves are. If you have ever spoke to a person, a follower of a false prophet, you will understand what Jesus is saying here. Because the followers of false prophets are more deluded than the false prophets themselves are. They will go to great lengths to defend the false prophet. They will even twist the Bible to defend these false prophets. They will quote verses that says, touch not the anointed of God. Take it totally out of context, thereby becoming false prophets themselves, becoming even worse than their own false prophets whom they are following. They will tell you, when you are telling them, beware of false prophets, they will say, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Taking the verse totally out of context. But Jesus says, beware of false prophets. And he tells you the fruits that you can expect from false prophets. And when the apple fruit falls down from the tree, then you know that the tree is an apple tree. So Jesus says, you look at the fruits, then the fruits will tell you what kind of a person the person is. These false prophets, they give an impression of holiness to the people, Yet inside there are like tombs full of dead people's bones. And Jesus called them snakes, brood of vipers. Just like the devil who deceived Eve. They are just following from their father, the devil. They are agents of the devil. Their task is to lead people through the wide gate of false teaching, where the road is broad and many enter, but their end is destruction. These false prophets, Jesus says, run away from them. If you want to enter through the narrow gate that leads to life, then run from that false prophet. Do not even think about it any longer. Don't argue with yourself. Just run for your safety. False prophets are agents of Satan and will lead you to hell. Apostle Peter, who was there when Jesus was preaching on that mountain, he himself, at the end of his life, he wrote a letter to the churches. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he warned the churches of false teachers. And he mentions some of the fruits that you can expect to see from the false teachers. In verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, they will introduce destructive heresies. They will introduce to people teachings that are contrary to the teachings of the Bible. And that's what we have today, where people are entitled, where people are told that they are entitled to health and wealth, that if you are Christian, you should not be getting sick, that if you are Christian, you should not even be getting poor. I was on Facebook and I saw one of the pastors here in Olivet saying the very same thing about poverty, that you should not be poor. And it's not far. It's just around the corner. And these are the false prophets that the people are exposed to. In verse 2, Peter says, these false teachers will be greedy for money. And don't we see people today starting churches because they want to make money? Don't we see these pastors getting rich while their members are poor? This is the fruits of the false teachers. Peter says as well in verse 14 that their eyes are full of adultery, and they seduce unstable people. So don't we see churches now full of scandals? How there are scandals of pastors who are sleeping with girls inside the church? There is one who was exposed nationally. A video taken of him committing adultery. You will think people will be aware. They will look at this fruit of adultery and say, Jesus said, beware, then I am going to leave this church. Instead, people were happy for him that he's back. They were thinking that it was the devil who was making him do that, not seeing that this false prophet is merely doing that which he is. He's a bad tree, and because he's a bad tree, a bad fruit will fall from him. Just in closing, brethren, as Jesus is preaching on this mountain, he's doing so with a view to the building of his church. He knows that his disciples will encounter false prophets, and he's preparing them for these false prophets. He knows that he will not be with them for much longer, and that when he leaves, the false prophets will arise and try to destroy the church. As he's finishing this sermon on the mountain, you could feel his broken heart over what is to come. He feels for those who will fall prey to these wolves in sheep clothing. You could feel his pain for billions and billions of people who will be deceived by these false prophets and dragged to hell by them. We will see next week from verse 21 to verse 23 of the effects that these false prophets have on those who do not take heed. But for me and you, the message is beware of the false prophets. That Jesus commands us to enter by the narrow gate, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to practice his teachings, to trust ourselves in his care, to carry our cross daily and to follow him, to remain under the churches where his word is preached, where his word is honored, where Christ is glorified and nothing else. Brethren, this is a call for you to be where Christ is glorified, to be where the Bible is held in high esteem, to be where there are shepherds who care for your soul, not just those who pretend to care, but those who really care for your soul, those who will not deprive you of the truth of the gospel when you need it. And the warning is that you must not seek after riches, but seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because brethren, when you start seeking after riches, you will fall prey to these false prophets. That is how many people are with these false prophets. They are lured to these false prophets by the promises of riches. But Jesus warns us that seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you do not seek after the kingdom of heaven, then you are an easy target for these false prophets, because they are seeking people like that, people who want riches, and they have a message ready for you, a message that they are ready to feed you. They will tinkle your ears. They will tell you that which you want to hear. And their message is the wide gate, that broad road that leads to destruction, and many enter into it. That is the message. Jesus' message is the narrow gate, the narrow road that few find, that leads to eternal life. Now the intention here from Jesus is that we must know the agents of the wide gate, that we must know those who promote false teachings, those whose desire is to lead us astray from the ways of God, that we may remain in the narrow road. Jesus intends that we must know the true appearance of these false prophets, that you must know that they will present themselves as sheep, that they will not present themselves as wolves, because if they do, you will run, but they will present themselves as sheep. But you must know them. You must look at the fruits of the ministries. And the only way, brethren, to survive, the only way not to fall prey to this wide gate of the false prophets, is to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, to have your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, to trust Jesus only for salvation, and to make it your aim in life to please him. Let it be your aim that your life must be pleasing to God. For those who are listening to us, because our sermons go to the internet, you may be asking yourself, what if the fruits mentioned here are evident in your church? What if your pastor is sleeping with girls in the worship team? What if there are teachings in your church which are contrary to the Bible? If the fruits that Jesus says you will know them by are present in the ministries that you are in, then take heed. Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Leave such places, because such places will leave you astray. May the Lord bless you. Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your love and your care that you have for us. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the one, O Lord, who does not run when the wolf comes for the sheep, but he stands and fights, the one who warns the sheep of the wolves, even as he's warning us today. Lord, this is not just a sermon, just a random sermon, O Lord. We see these things here in the place of Olivet. We see them here in this very street. We see them here in Extension 13. O Lord, may you be merciful. May you be gracious, O Lord, to those who are in tents this morning, to those who are in churches, filling them up only to listen to the false teachings of the false prophets. Consider, O Lord, that we, some of us, were in such places, but you took us out. By your grace, you opened our eyes, we saw the fruits, and we knew that this cannot be from you. May you do the same, O Lord. May you open the eyes of the people, that they may see that a man of God cannot be an adulterer, that a man of God cannot love money, that, O Lord, a man of God cannot tell people some motivational speeches, that a man of God preaches your word. O Lord, may the people's eyes be opened. Only you can open it, just like you opened our eyes. Where would we have been had you left us, O Lord, in the places where we were? We could have been lost, O Lord. No man can survive eating bad fruit every week. But here we are. We are able to preach on these fruits. We are able to identify these false teachers. Do the same to others that which you have done to us. Consider, O Lord, how people are filling up places where they are being lied to. May you be gracious. May you be merciful, O Lord, even today. In Jesus' name, amen.